doing this next?
Battery's okay.
It's one bar, please.
One bar, alright. Try it.
Do you have more sheets for you?
No, I only... Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't. Okay, so the Maharal of Prague wrote a book about leaving Egypt called Gvuras Hashem. And the Stachina Rebbe, every year before Pesach, that'll be next week, he gives shiurim every day for about an hour and 20 minutes before Mincha, to prepare for Pesach. So a couple of years ago, he gave shiurim in Gvuras Hashem, and he started with this Maharal. Maharal talks about a part of the Haggadah. Haggadah begins with Halach Ma'anya. Haggadah then gets into Manashtana, the four questions. And after the four questions, we start with the answer. Our sages were, our ancestors were slaves to Paro in Egypt. And after the four questions, after Avada Mayinu, we get into the discussion of the Braisa, where we actually learn the halacha that there is a chiyuv to remember leaving Egypt every night. Mentioned that Kol Amar Barizim Shubach, anyone who talks the more the better. So we have a story, Maisa. Maisa, a story with four Gedolim sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were Oskin, the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kolosa Alayla. They were telling the story of leaving Egypt that entire night until their students came and told them, "Our masters, the sun has already risen. It's time to say Kriya Shema." So why did we have this story? It says the Maharal. It's to tell us how much they loved telling the story. They loved it. They enjoyed it. They wanted to tell the story. They got into it. And one thing led to the next. Before they knew it, the night was over. Why did it say that they were reclining and eating in Bnei Brak? I'm sorry, this is actually before the Mishnah of Rabbi Lazar, who says you have to say leaving Egypt every night. Mention leaving Egypt every night. Shalot tomar ki lo l'shem mitzvah shel alayla azel yimsakim kol alayla b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Don't think that they were learning Torah because they were learning, they got so involved that they learned the whole night. No. Because if it would be learning, it would say that they were sitting in a base medrash. It says that they were reclining in Bnei Brak. In other words, it was part of the meal of the Seder. They were reclining. And they got so involved in telling the story that they went all the way till the morning. Now you have a question. Where's the enjoyment of Yom Tov? The whole night, stay up, talk about leaving Egypt. Where are you enjoying Yom Tov? That's not a question. Amru shaloha yatzar lahem. That's what it says. That they, it tells us that they really didn't have any pain at all. Because since they loved the mitzvah so much, the time was very short. They didn't feel anything until suddenly the sun had risen. The time was so short. They didn't even notice that the sun had risen, that the star of morning had risen. Because their students who came and told them, the time of saying Kriya Shema has arrived. Now we have to say Kriya Shema. So the Rebbe here has a tremendous Torah about the inyan of Sipurei Tzadikim. The inyan of talking about Tzadikim. It's a very big inyan in Chassidus to tell stories about Tzadikim. They say from them, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, to state, to relate stories about tzaddikim, to relate stories about great, great, pious, righteous giants is like learning the secrets of Masa Merkava. It says in the book of Yechezkel, the Navi Yechezkel, related the secrets of prophecy, what he had to go through before he actually saw God, what angels he got through. These secrets are called Masa Merkava, the tale of the chariot. The secrets of the chariot, the Baal Shem Tov said, are achieved by us when we say stories about tzaddikim. We talk about great, holy, pious people. It's the secrets of the chariot. I have to share a couple of stories of tzaddikim. About 3 years ago, I went to Borough Park on Chol HaMoed Pesach to buy, to buy some things. I went to a bakery. It's called Schick's Bakery on 16th Avenue. Schick's Bakery is very famous that they sell very delicious Pesach delicacies. All, of course, non-gebrat. It's very wonderful Pesach delicacies. So I went and I bought brownies and other matamim, other delicacies for the Yom Tov. It's a big line. I walk out. There's an older man there, clean shaven. He said, "Do you like the things you got?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I own this bakery." I said, "Very nice." His name wasn't Schick. Apparently the Schicks had sold it to somebody else and sold it to somebody else. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Zev Reichman." He said, "Reichman? My best friend in the world was Meir Reichman. We were together in the Krakow ghetto." I said, "Really? Must have been I asked him, was he a Chassidish Yid?" He said, "Yeah, he was a Belzer Chassid." I said, "My great-grandfather, Wolf Reichman, who I'm named for, he was a Belzer Chassid, Chassid of Rabbi Aaron Belzer." He said, "You want to hear a story about Rabbi Aaron Belzer?" Rabbi Aaron Belzer, Rabbi Aaron Rokeach, was the Belzer Rebbe during World War II. He was known as an unbelievable tzaddik. As an example, it would take him a very long time to be ready to daven. It would take him hours and hours before he would start davening. He used to do all sorts of things, like he used to ask for certain svarim, take the sefer, open it up, and just open page after page. He'd open a Sanhedrin Shavuos Makkos and just go page after page, turning the pages of the Sefer. People didn't know what he was doing. He knew all of these Svarim by heart. He would review the whole thing before he would daven, turn page after page. He knew the Sechtes by heart. Big tzaddik, big, big tzaddik, tremendous tzaddik. So I'll tell you a story about Rav Aaron Rokeach. He survived the war with miracles. Said during the war of Aaron Rokeach, it's a whole book how he survived the war. It's a great book, Rescuing the Rebbe of Belz. When the war started, the Nazis and the Russians had made an agreement that they were going to divide Poland between the two of them. So the Rebbe, when the war started, he left Belz and he went to the Russian side of Poland. And then he escaped from the Russian side of Poland into the German-occupied side of Poland. He was in the Bachnia ghetto. He was in the Krakow ghetto, and he ended up smuggled out of Nazi-occupied Poland into Hungary. Hungary at the time was an ally of Germany. He was in Hungary, he ended up in Budapest, and then he left Budapest, and he got smuggled from Hungary through the Orient Express. He went on the Orient Express all the way from Hungary to Turkey, and then from Turkey he got to Syria, Beirut, and then eventually to Israel. 1944, in the summer of 1944, he arrived in Palestine. With tremendous miracles, whenever he would go on these trips, like when he went from Poland to Hungary, he would go into a trance. He wouldn't talk, he wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, wouldn't sleep, murmuring something. And people swore that there was like a light around him. Tremendous nisim, the Rav Aaron Belzer, tremendous nisim. So this fellow meets me, I don't forget his name anymore. This is 3 years ago in Pesach. He says, "Your grandfather was a Belzer chassid." I'll tell you, I met Rav Aaron Belzer in the Bachnia ghetto. When he was running through Poland. I went to the Bachmia ghetto. I walked in. I was a Hasidic boy. I wasn't the Belz a Chassid. I was a Chassid of the son of the Divrei Chaim. I think his name was Shinever Rebbe, Reb Chatzkala Shinever. I was a Chassid of Reb Chatzkala. But I went into the Belz a Rebbe. He gave me brachas. Got through the war. I'll tell you a story about the Belz a Rebbe. After the war, the Belz a Rebbe settled in Tel Aviv. He didn't go to Yerushalayim. He only went to Yerushalayim maybe once or twice. Belz a Chassidim say the reason why he didn't go to Yerushalayim was because he was choshesh that if he would live in Yerushalayim, he'd be chayiv in Karban Pesach. So therefore he was Bederech Rechoka. He lived far away from Yerushalayim. The person who lived away, far away from Yerushalayim, he'd be much from Karban Pesach. That's what they say. Anyway, nobody knows. But for his reasons, he didn't live in Yerushalayim. Others, the politicians say, he wanted to live in a Jewish city. And because he wanted to live in a Jewish city, so Tel Aviv at the time was a Jewish city. It was all Jews. Yerushalayim had Arabs in it. Lived in Tel Aviv. Whatever his reason where he lived in Tel Aviv, he said he went to visit the Belzer Rebbe once in the early 50s. The Rebbe passed away in 1956. And he went up to the apartment where the Rebbe was staying, and the Gabbai was there. And he said, the Rebbe's not feeling well, nobody can come in. So he said, tell the Rebbe, so-and-so from Bachnia ghetto is here. The Rebbe was always very warm to all the people who had been with him in the war. So he said, bring him in. Came in, he gave a kvitzel, his name, his mother's name, his wife's name. The Rebbe looks at his wife's name, and the Rebbe says about the wife's name, you sure that's the name? He said, yeah, it's my wife. I know my wife's name. He said, you should check. And he gave a brach. Of course, the Rebbe says you should check. He's got a check, so he sends right away a telegram to his wife. This is 1953. He sends a telegram to his wife in America. What's your name? She writes back, this is my name. He comes back. He asks his brothers-in-law, what's the name? He said, this is the name. Anyway, Belzer Rebbe said they checked, but that was the name. 30 years later, a friend of his from Babov goes to Poland to daven at Kivri Tzadikim. He's davening at a kever, someone in their family, and he finds a kvittel there, a note, a piece of paper, and he saw the names on the piece of paper was this fellow's family name, so he brought the piece of paper back. Apparently this was a piece of paper that this man's father-in-law had written at this kever tzaddikim, and he wrote about all the members of the family that the tzaddik should daven for them, and he had the fellow's wife. She had another name. She had an added name. During the war, she was a little kid, a young teenager. The name had been forgotten. The Belzer Rebbe, he knew. Sorry, this is what a man told me outside the Schick's Bakery in Barbara. The story of Tzaddikim. And Tzaddikim, unbelievable things happen with Tzaddikim. I'll tell you a story about the Lubavitch Rebbe. His memory should be a merit for all of us. My teacher of Moshe Wolfson, so he was very close to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he related to us that he used to go every summer to Yerushalayim. He worked the whole year in Torah V'das, Shkiah, Shiurim. In summers he used to go to the Old City, he used to rent an apartment there in the Old City, and he would daven at the Kotel for several hours every morning, slow mincha, daven a lot. He used to go around. People would hear about him. Chassidish yeshivas, hadarim, they'd ask him to speak. He'd go speak all over. So there was one year he was very tired. It had been a difficult year. He decided to himself, this year, I'll go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll just sit and learn. I'm not going to run around. People ask me to speak, I'm not going to speak. So he went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe in June. And he's on the line for the dollars. He comes to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, "No, Moshe, what are your plans for the summer?" "I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. I need a bracha from the Rebbe." The Rebbe said, "You should have gesund, and you should have atzlacha, siyata d'shmaya, and whenever they call you to speak, you should go speak all over the country." And he gave him a dollar. So that was it. Rav Wolfson spoke everywhere. Lubavitcher Rebbe said he went over, he spoke everywhere. another story with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, with Wolfson, that he had a heart issue. Needed help with his heart. Doctors were worried. Arteries were clogged. So he went to the Rebbe once, and the Rebbe said to him, "How are you doing?" He said, "I need a bracha from the Rebbe for my heart. Doctors want to do a procedure." The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "A heart like yours gives chizuk to Jewish hearts? Can't be sick. It's strong. Only a strong heart can give chizuk to other hearts. Only a strong heart can strengthen other hearts." He went the next day, and the doctor said, "You don't need a procedure. You don't need a procedure." And the story is with tzaddikim. So here in the Haggadah, we have a story of tzaddikim. So why do we have a story of tzaddikim? For Zakenim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, sitting in Bnei Brak. What does this have to do with Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is to tell us about leaving Egypt. The Haggadah is the text for Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why do we have Sipuri Tzadikin, story of Tzadikin, in the middle of Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Rebbe gives here an insight which can transform our whole perspective of stories about Tzadikin. The Rebbe explains, Kasava Maharal, the Maharal taught, Shenichiba v'mitzvah, Hayazman katzu lehem o'od. Because they enjoyed the mitzvah so much, the time was very short. Lo hirgishu ad sha'olam u'rashachar. They didn't even notice when it became morning. Shayich zos l'chol adarga shel Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is leaving Egypt. Yetzias Mitzrayim haynu shemis'alim l'malam me'azman. Shalachin osur le'achol chametz. Who nasa tachas gidri azman? Shashiu yazman pol al alechem. Kishmas alun lamalam yazman. Hudar gadamatzah. Number one. Explain this based on the first mamar of Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach. Now Putin writes, first mamar of Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach. Pasuk says, Ushmartim es hamatzos. Guard the matzos, which is the mitzvah to make sure that a matzah doesn't become chametz. Says the Medrash, not ushmartim es hamatzos, ushmartim es hamitzvos. Mitzvos should not become chametz. Don't let the mitzvah wait. It's reason makdim in the mitzvos. Rush to do mitzvos. Do mitzvos with energy, alacrity, speed, passion. Don't go it slow. Do mitzvos with feeling, with excitement. Do mitzvos with excitement, says Rav Huttner. Usually we think there's the mitzvah, learning Torah, doing chesed, davening, and there are ways to add to the mitzvah. A mitzvah of learning Torah, okay, I can add to it with energy. I learn Torah with energy, so not only do I have the mitzvah of learning Torah, I have another thing too. I have the concept of being an energetic Jew, being a zariz, being zrizin makdim la mitzvah. You see here from the Medrash, it's not that. Being energetic is not an external addition. It's intrinsic to the mitzvah. Because the Midrash is comparing chametz to a mitzvah that's done slowly. Chametz is ruined matzah. A mitzvah done slowly is a mitzvah. It's not a ruined mitzvah. But if the Medrash compares chametz to a mitzvah done slowly, that means a mitzvah done slowly is somewhat deficient in the essence of the mitzvah, just like dough, which is chametz, is deficient in its very essence. How is that so? Says Rav Huttner, when we rush to do mitzvos, it shouldn't be we're rushing to do a mitzvah because we're under pressure. If I don't do the mitzvah, I'm going to feel bad. I need to rush. Reason. We rush to do mitzvahs because we're doing mitzvahs from our neshama. The body is slow. The neshama is fast. The body is slow because the physical world is slow. The Maharal says the first thing God made was time. Whatever is under the rule of time is physical. And the more physical, the slower. The more chamri, the more material, the slower. But the neshama is fast. So if you do a mitzvah as a body doing a mitzvah, it's slow. You do a mitzvah with passion, it's because your neshama is doing a mitzvah. A neshama that does a mitzvah is a whole different mitzvah than a mitzvah that the body does. A soul that does a mitzvah is a different type of mitzvah. It's intrinsically different. When Hashem took us out of Egypt, Hashem took us out b'chipazon. Hashem took us out fast. Why did Hashem take us out fast? Because leaving Egypt was feeling the neshama. Feeling the neshama is fast. No one could understand what the 400 years were. Was it 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak? 400 years since we came to Egypt? 400 years from the Shibut? 400 years from the exile? No one knew what the 400 years were. Why did Hashem tell Avram 400 years if no one's going to know what the 400 years are? Because leaving Egypt is not under the rule of time. If it'd be under the rule of time, you'd understand how time applies to leaving Egypt. But leaving Egypt was to transcend time. We left Egypt when we transcended time, when we became neshamas, when we became souls running out of Egypt. Leaving Egypt is not under the domain of time. Chametz is dough that's under the domain of time. It's prohibited. Matzah is not under the domain of time. So when the Chachamim, these Gedolim, talked about leaving Egypt, they transcended time. There's no time. There's no time. Because they were talking about leaving Egypt from their neshamas. It was a matzah dikah talk. It was a matzah conversation. A matzah conversation, there's no time. Suddenly it's the morning. I didn't know the time passed. That's the matzah here. We're transcending the physical. Pesach. Hureishis Moadi Hashem. Pesach is the first of God's times. Now what is a Moed of Hashem? Hey Madarga Shazman Va Moed Misala Lushar Shoshalamalam Azman. A holiday is that a certain time rises to the level above time, to its root, to the spirituality. The spirituality is above time. So Mimela. Leil Pesach, the night of Pesach. Reishis Moadi Hashem, which is the beginning of all of God's times, the first of all of God's times, it's Biyoser Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a reliving of going past the limits. Mitzrayim is limits, going past the limits, to be above the limitations of time. L'mal Megidu Hazman. V'zeru She'elu HaTanoim Yis'alu L'Darga Shazman L'Opal Aleim Shum Hergish. That's what's going on here. These Tanoim reached a level where there was no time. Time didn't affect them. Before they knew it was the morning. There was no time. Isa Ba'Ari HaKadosh, the Ari HaKadosh teaches that Ma'asa, a story of Tzadikim, Ma'asa really is the letters Ma, Mem Hei, Shin Ayin. Shu Shin Ayin Neho, 370 lights, Shinim Shach L'Shem Ma, that come into the name of God, which is Gematria 45. The name of God, which is Gematria 45, is Yud Ke Vav Ke spelled out. Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph, Vav, Hey Aleph, equals 45. That's the Shem Matzah. When a Matzah, when you say a story of Tzadikim, what you're really doing is you're bringing Shin Ayin Nehorin, you're bringing 370 heavenly lights into God's name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph, Vav, Hey Aleph. Behind it. What's the idea? What's the derech avoda? That's mysticism. What's the practical avoda? Ki yesh eiz oro shein b'derech hasaga shenichnasim l'toch haklei havana shel ha'adam sheyuchal l'tov sam heitev hem shayachim l'madregasa kol kachim niklatim b'mocho v'nitvas b'kelav ad shehem na'asim mamish chilek ma'atzmuso u'poel al atzmuso midosav u'mishapich l'gamrei. Shemakifin also mikol tzad, machnisin also l'toch olam chadash l'gamrei. Hagam shu darga shalamala mimenu, sheinu yachol la'asigo, mikol makom nichnasu l'toch avir acheres. So the Rebbe says, first of all, you have to realize a principle. There are two types of lights. Inner lights and enveloping lights. Inner lights, inspiration, that's on our level. On our level. Let's say you have somebody who unfortunately is not a great Torah scholar, and he doesn't really keep many mitzvahs. But he appreciates being nice. He appreciates it when people are nice to him. He understands it's important to be nice to others. He's a nice person. So what would be an inspiration that's on his level? For him to meet someone who's really nice. He gets it. Wow, that's a good thing. He's nicer than I am. Well, that's a good thing. He's inspired by it. He can absorb it. And he can learn from it. Also, there are all sorts of ideas of Torah that are at our level. Based on our level, we can absorb them. Because it's at our level, we are changed by them. These are called inner lights. Learning Torah is all about inner lights, absorbing according to our level. Sometimes there are certain ideas that are way beyond our level. Enveloping lights, oros makifin. Oros makifin, these are levels that are way beyond where I'm at. I can never be that. But just being in the presence of such inspiration also lifts me up. It hovers above me, it's beyond me. Take this man who's not a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't learn, who's not so observant, and you bring him in front of, let's say, the Gadol Hador, the greatest Torah scholar. Can he appreciate what that man's all about? No. But he walks out and says, that was something special. He doesn't know even what it was. What touched him? What touched him was a light that enveloped him. Those lights that are beyond where we are at, but still influence us. They put us into a different atmosphere. That's called an or makif, a light that envelops, not an or pnimi. Or pnimi is a light that we internalize. Or makif is a light that envelops. Says the Rebbe, l'masha, kishroon atzadik mispal. When you go and you see a tzadik davening, you can have a tzaddik who's on such a high level, this person, he has no concept of that level of kavana. He's not at all at the level of that tzaddik. But even so, but that that he's standing next to this tzaddik, it impacts him. He's in a new world. He's in a new world, and that new world impacts him because it envelops him. B'derech makif poel alav. That's called a light that envelops, an overwhelming light. Zehu inyan sipurei tzadikim. Stories of tzadikim is to enter into a new world, a world that's beyond ours. We shouldn't say to ourselves, "Well, how come? You know, how come we can't do what the Belzer Rebbe did?" You know, when am I going to be able to do? When am I going to have the siyata d'shmaya, the help from Hashem, like the Lubavitcher ever had to accomplish what he accomplished? That's not a question. He was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm not the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was Rabbi Belzer. It was a tzaddik. But it's important to talk about these stories because the stories put us into their world. Then we're in an or makif. We're in a light that's wow, beyond us. But it inspires us, it touches us, it changes us. It changes us because we touch something which is transcendent, way beyond where we are at. Zehu inyan sipurei tzadikim, shemesaper mehem inyanim shem gvoim har b'miyod midargas adam. When you talk about tzadikim, you're talking about a level that's way beyond where we're at. Einam klal begedish yuchalum mehem, b'zeh lasus kemosim. I can't imitate them. Came lamalami madrigasu lagami. They're way beyond my level. We need to reduce what the tzaddik did many, many, many times till it's at a level that I can absorb it. I need to reduce the tzaddik's inspiration to a point that I can access it and I can live by it. Amnam ikar inyan sipurei tzaddikim. Him shapalim alav or makif. But the power of sipurei tzadikim is that they make an enveloping light. Machnitzim osu l'toch avir acheres. They put him into a different atmosphere. Avir shel ma'asa tzaddikim. You enter into the world of the tzaddikim. So that's why Hitchila Agada b'ma'asa shel tzaddikim gedolim. Agada starts with the story of big tzaddikim. Shimshichu mamish hadarga shel oso halayla. Chassidim say, what does it say? Shehayu mesaprim b'oso halayla. Mesaprim from the term sapir. They were lighting up that night. Mesaprim oso halayla. They lit up that night. They lit up that night itself. In other words, they brought the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim and they lit it up. V'imshichu or gadol ma'od. They brought a great light. V'nis'alu l'malam e'azman. They rose above time. V'zeh inyin shah nehorah. 370 lights are oros makif. Those are lights that envelop. How do you get to 370? Take the name of Hashem Kael. Aleph Lamed, Bimilu'o. Spell it out. So Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei, 111. Lamed is Lamed Mem Dalid, which is 74. 111 plus 74 is 185. 185 times 2 is 370. The word for makif, that which envelops, is hekif. Hey kuf pei. Hey kuf pei is 185. 185 times 2 is 370. Gematria shah. The two times kael b'miluo, those are the hekif. These are the two enveloping lights. That becomes the 370 enveloping lights. U'or apanim, it's the light of holiness. U'meir b'derech makif, shines in an enveloping way. Alidei ma'ase, mamshichin zeha'or makif. You bring this enveloping light. That is the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach was not or pnimi. Night of Pesach was our makif. It wasn't the light that we could absorb. It was a light beyond. That's why we rushed. We rushed. Says the Rebbe now a very deep thing. How do you attach yourselves to the light beyond? How do you attach yourself to an enveloping light? With emunah. Faith in God. Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is an inner light. To reach the holiness which is beyond the human, that's through emunah. Because what is emunah? Emunah is a hamshacha, to be drawn, to be attracted magnetically to that which is above. That's the idea of Sipurei Tzadikim. Sipurei Tzadikim is what creates emunah. Sipurei Tzadikim really is that when we say the stories of Tzadikim, we are attracted to tzaddikim from the part of emunah that's within us. And that strengthens our emunah. That brings us into a higher world, a world above the natural, above the slow and deliberate. Pesach is matzah. Matzah's chipazon is to rush by reaching the emunah within us, which attracts us to the holiness that's beyond. We run to follow Hashem. That's an idea. The mass of the Skenim Shayim Masubnu B'nei Brak. It's the emunah of the night of Egypt. The night of leaving Egypt is a night to strengthen our emunah, to be attracted to Hashem, to reach levels of holiness that not only we absorb, but that transcend us also. Okay, it's a story.
Thank you so much.